та за вашу волю. Круг містечка, берестечка на чотири милі. Мене вчора козаченьки своїм хрупом вкрили.
Popular American Ukrainian dance band Fata Morhana, originally from Kyiv, and they moved to the States in 1991. That song was called Zeleneye Pole, which means the greening field. Добрий день, дорогі радіослухачі, та вітаю вас всіх на радіопередачі «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. З вами Павліна Макворі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you from Vancouver Island on the west coast of Canada, courtesy PCJ Radio. I'm your host, Paulette Demchuk-McQuarrie, Polkrinske Pavlina, and I am so glad to have you with me. We've got a great program lined up for you. We've got Victor's Vignettes coming up, and I'll be telling you all about what life was like back in, right after the collapse of the Soviet Union, to one of the largest shipbuilding ports in Ukraine. As well, we've got Ukrainian Jewish heritage and the story about a Jewish woman who was very instrumental in preserving Jewish culture in Ukraine and who now has a museum in Lviv named after her. As well, a book review, and this is a book on a very contemporary theme. It is the book is called Red Notice by Bill Browder. And this is a true story that reads like a spy thriller. And the author, Bill Browder, has had firsthand experience with the underworld that is running Russia and attempting to continue its control of neighboring countries. So stay tuned for all of that. As well, we've got news from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine Today, our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up now, the delightful trio Maksimovich and a traditional Ukrainian folk song, about a wedding between a mosquito and a fly. Well, not really, but I think there's a story here about a mismatched pair, and maybe they should reconsider. Here they are now, Trio Maksimovich and Komarek. The 19th annual Bloor West Village Toronto Ukrainian Festival, one of the world's largest Ukrainian street festivals, will be in full swing September 18th to 20th. Enjoy great food, cultural displays, and nonstop performers from across North America, plus the headlining band Otbinta from Ukraine. Enjoy the Children's Midway, sidewalk sale, vendors, films, and more. This year, you could win a trip for two to Kyiv. Check UkrainianFestival.com for further details and catch the Ukrainian spirit. Brought to you by Ukrainian Culture Festival, the Government of Canada, and the Government of Ontario. And now, Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, hosted by Renata Hananets, in cooperation with the Jewish Heritage Museum in Lviv, Ukraine. This special Nash Holos feature is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative, based in Toronto, Ontario.
The Faina Petrikova Scientific Center for Judaica and Jewish Art has been set up to commemorate the life of Faina Petrikova. A passionate defender and promoter of Jewish art and a great scholar. Faina Petrikova was born in 1931 in Old Bychov, now in Belarus territory, into a Jewish family. Her father was an officer and her mother was a nurse. She studied Russian philology at the Lviv University and art criticism in St. Petersburg and Moscow. Faina Petrikova was an extraordinary person. She was very popular among her colleagues and also with critics and artists. She was popular not only because of her flamboyant nature, beauty, and charm, but above all because of her knowledge, her passion for her work, and her outstanding work ethic. She was a professor at the Lviv Academy of Arts, a doctor of art history, and senior scientist at the Lviv Department of the Folklore Institute of the National Academy of Sciences of Ukraine, where she earned her doctorate. In 1990, she created the first exhibition of Jewish work in the USSR. The exhibition was a unique event in the 90s, following the collapse of the Soviet Union. Having spent most of her life living under a political system that forbade and suppressed an open display of Jewish collections, Ms. Faino wanted to make her collection available to the public. The exhibition, titled Jewish Traditional Art of the 17th to Early 20th Century, was displayed at the Museum of Ethnography and Art Crafts in Lviv. The exhibition also traveled to Moscow and Kyiv. Dr. Petrikova passed away in 2002. She left behind a remarkable scientific legacy worthy of her stature as a renowned scholar in such fields as Ukrainian glass, porcelain, ceramics, and Ukrainian Judaica. At the center, we are currently preparing her numerous articles for publication, as well our efforts to restore and display Dr. Petrikova's vast collection of Jewish art and artifacts is a continual work in progress. You are most welcome to visit the center in Lviv the next time you are in our beautiful city. It is located at 144 Mendeleeva Street. As well, I invite you to visit our website to find out more about Dr. Faina Petrikova, the center, and our work. Our address is www.jewishheritage.org.ua. This is Renata Hananets at the Faina Petrikova Center in Lviv, Ukraine. Until the next time, shalom.
Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more, visit them at ukrainianjewishencounter.org and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. For transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, please visit the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com. and a very popular contemporary band from Ukraine called Haidamake, and a song with a Ukrainian title, which is Center Ukrainskoye Kultury, which means Ukrainian Cultural Center, but they have another English title for it that they have assigned, and that is Ukraine Calling. Up next is a group from Canada, headquartered in Edmonton. It is temporarily disbanded now, but they put out 4 CDs, and they're starting to put up a lot of stuff on Facebook and YouTube. So if you're interested, just Google Kugbasonics, and you can have a look at some of their early antics. And this next song is from their first recording called Miaso, which means meat. There's a whole story to that. Ukrainians are big meat eaters, especially sausage. At any rate, here are the Kugbasonics now from their first CD, Miaso, and a traditional Ukrainian folk dance, the woodcutter's dance. It is a men's dance, and it is called the Arkan. Слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Now the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
7 Ukrainian servicemen have been killed and 13 wounded in fighting with Russian-led militants over the past 24 hours, according to military spokesman Alexander Matuzianik. The casualties were the highest daily losses for the Ukrainian army since mid-July, as violence continues to test a 6-month-old truce, referred to by President Petro Poroshenko as a pseudo-ceasefire. As is known, yesterday in the direction of Mariupol, rebels used multiple missile launcher complexes, Grad, against our position. Within the past 24 hours, we sustained the biggest losses, irreversible losses, in the direction of Mariupol. Namely, 5 of our soldiers died in Prokhorivka and 1 died near Starognativka. More than 6,500 people, including hundreds of civilians, have been killed in the conflict. Russian-led militants took up arms in the east after Russia annexed Crimea in March 2014.
Ukraine's top military prosecutor has announced his office will soon formally charge 2 Russian soldiers captured in eastern Ukraine. Anatoly Matyos said a public trial would follow, adding that Ukrainian lawyers have been provided to the soldiers, a captain and a sergeant, who were taken custody in Luhansk region in May. Both Russian soldiers have been treated in a military hospital in Kyiv. Ukraine's State Security Service has said that Russian Sergeant Alexander Alexandrov and Russian Captain Yevgeny Yerofeyev were tasked with capturing the town of Shastya in the Luhansk region in eastern Ukraine in 2015, a charge the men have not denied. The men's lawyer says they face life imprisonment. The captured soldiers are accused of terrorism, and this offense can be punished with life, according to their lawyer. Alexandra Sokolovskaya said she is not in possession of all the relevant materials ahead of the initial court hearings due to begin in September.
Ukraine and representatives of Russian-led militant groups have tentatively agreed to abide by the ceasefire agreed in February, starting on the beginning of the school year, September 1st. The news came as the OSCE said it was alarmed by the escalation in fighting in East Ukraine during recent weeks. I would like to express my deep concern about the recent increase in the number of ceasefire violations and the deterioration of the situation in the east of Ukraine. In an attempt to end the bloodshed, the so-called contact group, in which representatives of the OSCE, Ukraine, Russia, and militant groups take part on August 26 in Minsk, vowed to continue pushing for a stop to the fighting. The parties agreed that on September 1st, they together will check whether this initiative is really being implemented. Negotiators from the rebel republics voiced their support for the initiative and said that the talks were productive. I would like to say that overall, in all subgroups, there is progress. The work process continues, but it takes a long time for political decisions to result in a conflict resolution. A rather interesting, rather balanced proposal was pronounced at these talks to fully cease shelling as of September 1st. This proposal got positive response practically from all sides, and there is hope today that as of September 1st, we will manage to stop shelling from both sides. Kyiv military spokesman, meanwhile, announced two Ukrainian soldiers had been killed in attacks by militants in the previous 24 hours. More than 6,500 people have been killed since the conflict erupted in eastern Ukraine in April last year, after Russia annexed the Crimean Peninsula. Hundreds of Ukrainian soldiers have died since a ceasefire was agreed in February.
A Russian court has sentenced Ukrainian film director Oleg Sentsov to 20 years in a high-security penal colony for terrorist attacks in Crimea, the Black Sea Peninsula that Moscow annexed from Ukraine in April 2014. 39-year-old Sentsov was arrested in May 2014 during a protest against Russia's invasion and annexation of Crimea. Another activist, Alexander Kolchenko, who was being tried with Sentsov, was sentenced to 10 years. Both Crimea-born Sentsov and Kolchenko pleaded not guilty and denounced the proceedings as a political show trial. Following the verdict, both defendants broke into laughter and sang a rendition of the Ukrainian national anthem, singing the words, "Soul and body we will lay down for our freedom." Ukrainian government says Sentsov was punished for being a Crimea-based pro-Ukraine activist. The director rejected the authority of the military court, saying he was beaten in jail for 24 hours in an attempt to force a confession. Russian investigators dismissed his allegations of torture, claiming his bruises were self-inflicted as he was keen on sadomasochism. Human rights groups condemned the verdicts. In a statement reacting to the court's decision, Amnesty International denounced the trial. The men have been subjected to an unfair trial on terrorism charges relating to their opposition to Russia's occupation of Crimea. The military trial was rife with irregularities, including shocking revelations about the use of torture and other ill-treatment to extract testimony. The men have been subjected to an unfair trial on terrorism charges relating to their opposition to Russia's occupation of Crimea. Outside the fortified Russian embassy in the Ukrainian capital Kyiv, dozens of activists protested the verdict. This is absurd. This is absurd. Barbarity, savagery, which cannot exist in the 21st century. I have no words. It may exist in Africa, Korea maybe, but this is not Europe. It is barbarity, inquisition. It cannot be this way. Fellow filmmaker Oleg Fialko also condemned the 20-year jail sentence. We know Oleg as a powerful film director, as a humanist. He is not even able to think about killing a person he doesn't like. He is an artist. He can hide somehow thanks to his art. Oleg Sentsov is one of a number of Ukrainian figures held by Russia. Military pilot Nadia Savchenko is also facing trial in southern Russia. Accused of killing two people, she is likely to receive a sentence of over 20 years too, her lawyers have said. Her trial, also to be held in the Rostov region, is due to begin imminently.
Ukraine has agreed to a restructuring deal with creditors after 5 months of talks that will avert default and bolster an economy dragged down by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. According to the Bloomberg News Agency, Finance Minister Natalie Yereska reached an accord with a Franklin Templeton-led creditor committee that includes a 20% write-down to the face value of about $18 billion worth of Eurobonds, the first of which matures in less than a month. According to a statement from Yereska's ministry, the deal pushes back redemption dates by 4 years and sets interest at 7.75% on all maturities.
Ukraine's biggest port, a culturally diverse capital of the country's south, is experiencing a tourist boom. Since Russia invaded and annexed Crimea last year, the city has seen a large increase in visitor numbers, as Ukrainians are forced into choosing a new destination for their holidays. Igor Golubka, president of the Association of Ukrainian Tour Operators, told AFP last week, "You can probably describe what is happening as a tourism boom. But Odessa's gain is a loss for Crimea, where tourism is the main industry. The region is now only accessible to Russians by air, and a ferry service woefully ill-prepared to handle the hundreds of thousands who might have traveled by train, a service cut by Ukraine at the end of last year." Crimea's deputy premier, Ruslan Bolbek, said the resort was preparing to welcome 3 million guests this summer, but independent analysts put the figure closer to around 2 million, less than half that seen when the region was still part of Ukraine.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup. For more breaking stories on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog at uatoday.tv.
Як умру, то поховайте мене на могилі. Серед степу широко на вкраїні милі. Щоблани широко полі, і Дніпро, і кручі. Було видно, було чути, як реве ревучі. Щоблани широко полі, і Дніпро, і кручі. Було видно, було чути, як реве ревучі. Як понесе з України у синє море, кров ворожу отойдіє, і лани, і гори. Все покину і полину до самого Бога. Буду молитися, а до того я не знаю Бога. Все покину і полину до самого Бога. Буду молитися, а до того я не знаю Бога. Поховайте та вставайте, кайдани порвіте. І вражую свою кров'ю, волю окропіте. І мене в землі великій, в землі волі новій. Не забудьте пом'янути незлим тихим словом. І мене в землі.
was the immortal words of Ukraine's bard Taras Shevchenko, put to very contemporary arrangement, and that was Zapovit, and performed by Dmytro Bohush. Up next is a songstress from Ukraine by the name of Zlata Ognevich, and I called her songstress because that's an old-fashioned word, and the title of the song is sort of old-fashioned. It sort of means that, but really more of a musician, and it is called Muzichenko, and here she is, Zlata Ognevich.
Ой, заграли музики, музиченьки, заграли, заграли. Ой, чом би ми, молоді, молоденькі, чом не заспівали?
Співали ще діти.
Співаю, файну співаночку, лілявий Івана, Іваночку. Співаю ще діти Дана, про чорня мого Стефана. Бо я дівчина молода. Квітну, як на сонці ягода.
Ой, да, ой, ой, да, ой, да, ой.
Ми ще то ви зробили, дівчаточка, своїми косами. Закрутили легіням, легінникам голови бастями.
Бастями,
моє личко для Івана, чорні очка для Стефана. Бочки є для того, що я подожу на його. Бо я дівчина молода. Квітну, як на сонці я.
Welcome to Victor's Vignettes, stories about life in Soviet and post-Soviet Ukraine by Viktor Sergeyev of Mykolaiv, Ukraine. I am Serhiy Kaznodiy in Toronto. Well, it happened at last. Our city became open to the world. It was the year 1992, and there were no more military restrictions. Many visitors arrived at once, and there was a need for additional interpreters. Our newfound freedom, welcome as it was, brought with it lots of problems. Not least of all, nobody knew anything about international marketing, and nobody spoke English. So, in a way, we were babes in the woods. Even though for years we had built warships and aircraft carriers for the Soviet Navy. The shipyard in Mykolaiv was visited by many local and foreign guests who tried to look important and wealthy enough to buy an aircraft carrier or perhaps a small trawler vessel. They all had one thing in common. When it came time to pay, they all vanished, leaving behind multi-million dollar contracts worth less than the paper they were written on. Sure, I will remember this as a time of terrible economic problems. It is not easy to be an independent state after suddenly detaching from a big and aggressive imperia that wants to settle your problems for you, ruling and commanding you without your consent. And of course, controlling all the state mechanisms, which you can be sure it was not eager to give up and hand over nicely to its sovereign successor states. At that time, in the early 1990s, the current economic situation was on everyone's minds. And now we were able to discuss politics freely. We did, in shops, markets, wherever. I recall one guest from Turkey once overheard a small group of us having one such discussion. He said to us, "Probably your grasp of English is very poor, and so you imagine completely impossible events. Inflation can never reach as high as you say. It might get to 5 or to a maximum of 10%, not more." Such a lucky man he was. He never felt the cold breath of hyperinflation, which peaked at 10,000% in 1993. He never woke up in the morning knowing that bread or milk would be 3 times more expensive than they were the day before. At around that time, I recall going on a business trip to Hamburg to be sure, wealthy, and healthy. Germany, with its rich and plentiful shops, smiling people, and colored lights, pleasant smell of chocolate and perfumes everywhere in the streets, impressed us greatly. But do you love your motherland less when it is in trouble? Despite being surrounded by affluence and abundance, we still looked forward eagerly to return to the only place on earth that really needs and waits for you, home. During the trip, we encountered some men from a German fishing company who had never heard of our shipyard in Mykolaiv. So we explained, an ex-USSR republic with military restrictions cancelled. That was enough for them. Then they asked us to show the obligatory attributes of any independent state, our flag and money. There were no problems with showing our flag, but our money. The periods of detaching from the Soviet ruble zone and establishing our own currency, the hryvnia, took nearly 5 years. In the interim, we had funny money. Officially, it was called coupons, but people called them fantiki, or wrappers, referring to pieces of paper used by little children playing shopping. Essentially, the Soviet version of Monopoly money. Despite all of these problems, we had a strong feeling that everything was moving in the right direction, away from USSR imperialism, communism, and miserable Sovok life. Wise men say, don't rush events, everything will take care of itself, without your intervention. The Mykolaiv shipyard was a state enterprise, therefore it suffered very painfully. Everything of value was stolen, and what was left of our place could not sustain the workforce. My employment at the shipyard ended abruptly. I was offered a job by a Swiss-owned private company with offices much closer to my home and with a salary 5 times higher. My decision was obvious. I hope you enjoyed this edition of Victor's Vignettes, stories from the life of Viktor Sergeyev in Mykolaiv, Ukraine. You can find Viktor's original transcripts and commentary at his blog, Vignettes, Life in Ukraine. For audio archives and links, visit www.nashholos.com. So until next time, до побачення!
Корила баба,
журавля.
Another contemporary and very popular band in Ukraine, kind of a rockabilly band. They go by the name of Otvinta, and they will be in Canada very shortly, and many people looking forward to that. That was Otvinta and a traditional Ukrainian folk song with a twist, contemporary twist. Zakurela Baba Konopel, Granny Smoked Hemp. Coming up next is a song that harkens back to the Soviet era, and this is by a performer by the name of Levko Durko, which is not his real name because it means crazy Leo. And here he is now with a song called Yidu Yugoslaviu, Going to Yugoslavia.
Школі вчили усім допомагати. Я їду в Югославію голодних рятувати. Везу їм ковбаси і сиру, трошка масла, чотири банки шпротів, жеманця їх припасла. Їду, 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 ой, ду-ду-ду-ду-ду. Їду, їду, їду в Югославію. Їду, 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 ой, ду-ду-ду-ду-ду. Їду, їду, їду в Югославію. За тую ковбасу комп'ютер привезу, чотири банки шпротів міняю на Тойоту. Лишилось масло й сир, віддам, най буде мир. Не жаль мені провізії, священна моя місія. Їду, 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 ой, ду-ду-ду-ду-ду. Їду, їду, їду в Югославію. Їду, 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 ой, ду-ду-ду-ду-ду. Їду, їду, їду в Югославію. Наступнім році їду з візитом до Парижу. Везу їм мармуляду, чотири міхи рижу. Мене чекає Австрія, Японці, Уругвай. Бо я совєтський гражданин, всі просять, приїжджай. Їду, 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 ой, ду-ду-ду-ду-ду. Їду, 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 Югославію. Їду, 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 ой, ду-ду-ду-ду-ду. Їду, 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 Югославію. Їду, 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 ой, ду-ду-ду-ду-ду. Їду, 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 Югославію.
Welcome to Knižka Corner. Book reviews by Myra Junik. Ukrainian stories in English.
In this edition of Knižka Corner, we will be discussing Bill Browder's fascinating new book, Red Notice. Red Notice is a roller coaster ride through post-Soviet Russian history. Bill Browder was one of the architects of Russia's growing economy during the privatization era. He saw an opportunity to make a great deal of money and created the Hermitage Capital Investment Fund based in Moscow. Browder became the largest foreign investor in Russia. In 2000, his fund ranked as the best performing emerging markets fund in the world. However, on November the 13th, 2005, Bill Browder was expelled from Russia. He would later become one of Russia's harshest critics after the imprisonment and murder of his Russian lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky. He grew up in the United States as the grandson of the leader of the American Communist Party. In his teens, Browder rebelled against his family's ideology. He studied business at Stanford University in California. After graduation, he moved to England to work for the Boston Consulting Group and Robert Maxwell. His first job led him to Poland, where he discovered the immense opportunity for profit in Poland's privatization process. After setting up his own investment fund called Hermitage Capital, Browder became immensely wealthy and successful. However, his wealth and fame did not help him when he was targeted by Putin's henchmen in 2005. His outspoken criticism of Russian corruption put him at odds with the Russian government, and he was banned from Russia. He managed to get his money out of the country, but the Russian government leveled trumped-up charges of fraud and tax evasion against his company. One of his lawyers, Sergei Magnitsky, exposed the massive tax fraud invented by the Russian officials. He was thrown into jail and died from lack of medical treatment for the complications of pancreatitis and a severe beating by prison officials. Browder dedicated Red Notice to Magnitsky and called him the bravest man I've ever known. Magnitsky's death changed Bill Browder's life. Not only did he feel responsible for Magnitsky's murder in prison, but he also wanted to ensure that this injustice should be punished. During his campaign to seek justice for Magnitsky, Browder became a powerful critic of Vladimir Putin's government. His efforts culminated in American sanctions against Magnitsky's persecutors. Browder transformed himself from a rampant capitalist into a crusader for justice. Red Notice is a very well-written book about Russian finance, power, and corruption. It reads like a novel, but the shocking aspect of this story is that it is based on the truth. Readers will be fascinated by the intricacies and dishonesty of the Russian government, financial, and legal system. The power of the oligarchs and Putin's support of their activities shows how utterly corrupt the Russian system is today. Browder's efforts to implement sanctions against Russian lawmakers have facilitated the current sanctions against Russia for their illegal annexation of Crimea and invasion of eastern Ukraine. Bill Browder's campaign to seek justice for Magnitsky is truly admirable. It almost makes readers forget about his shameless profit-seeking in the post-Soviet era and his support for Vladimir Putin in the early days of his political career. Browder has transformed himself into a human rights activist who uses the media very effectively. However, Browder lives a very dangerous life, since he could be targeted for murder at any time, like other critics of Russia. The recent murder of opposition leader Boris Nemtsov is an indication that no one is safe. Readers will definitely wonder if they will be reading about Browder's mysterious death in the near future. Red Notice is available at Chapters Indigo and Amazon.
Thanks, Myra. Join us again soon for another edition of Konishka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB and streaming at am1320.com. As well, live in Nanaimo Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM and online at chly.ca. And elsewhere in the world, here on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, and shortwave radio. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.nashholos.com, where you can get links to podcast feeds of all the three editions of the show. As well, make sure to follow Nash Holos on Twitter and please like our Facebook page. Нажал ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. З приятелем краще поговорити, чим з дураком мед горілку пити. And our proverb of the week translates as, it is more pleasant to converse with a friend than to drink with a fool. Well, that just about wraps it up for another edition of Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio. To take us to the end of our program, Jason Chernoboy from Steinbeck, Manitoba, and Ishumet Ihude. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, до побачення.